Okay, the Gospel of John. We pick up our study in chapter 11, verse 1 today. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. We're going to see a miracle in this chapter, and it will be the final, and I think the greatest miracle performed by Jesus during the time that he was here. And it says in verse 2, and it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This Gospel of John was written 60 years after Mary anointed Jesus with that oil. But clearly, her devotion is still fresh in God's mind 60 years later, because he inspires the Apostle John to mention that act of devotion right here. Genuine acts of affection to God from Christians stay fresh in his mind. 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus. Very simple. Jesus, we have a problem, and we thought you would like to know about it. The one you love is sick. That's their message. Just leave it at that. They know Jesus, and they trust him to do whatever needs to be done, the best thing that should be done. They trust him. So look at verse 3 again. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Jesus loved Lazarus, but Lazarus was sick. Being sick, or having to endure suffering, doesn't mean that God does not love you. Good things happen to good people, but good things also happen to bad people. And bad things happen to good people, just as they happen to bad people. In other words, you cannot look at a person's circumstances and determine that God must be angry at them. 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus did not say that Lazarus would not die. He said that that death would not be the final outcome of Lazarus's sickness. The final outcome of this sickness will be people marveling at the power of Christ who actually raised Lazarus from the dead. That's what's going to happen. 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Loved and stayed away do not seem to go together here. We would think, I suppose, that if Jesus loved Lazarus, then he would not have stayed away when he was so sick. But we would think that the phrase, Jesus loved Lazarus, would be followed by, so he healed him from a distance, which he could have easily done. Or he did double time to get to Bethany in a hurry to heal Lazarus before he died. That's what we would expect to hear. But loved and stay away don't seem to go together. And that's because our ways are not God's ways. God sees the big picture. We see the now. God loves us always, but God is God, and his eternal purposes are the center of this universe, not our lives, not our comfort. So beneath the surface of every problem in your life as a Christian, God has a purpose. Whether he tells us what that purpose is or not, really, to be honest with you, we don't need to know it. 7. Then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." His disciples said unto him, "Teacher, the Jews have just sought to stone you, and go you there again?" So the apostles are nervous about returning to Judea because Jesus is a wanted man there by the religious leaders. They want to kill him. Everybody knows it. 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world." Jesus' answer to the disciples' concern is this: there are only 12 hours in a day. In other words, sometimes we must enter danger zones to do God's will, because our time here is so limited. If we only do what we should do when there's no risk involved, then we're not going to do much. 10. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. Walking in the night speaks of not living for Christ. A person who walks in the night is a person who does things their own way, not God's way. And he stumbles around because he doesn't walk in the light of God's word. 11. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." And here you see the omniscience of Jesus Christ. He knew his friend Lazarus was dead, even though he was not physically with Lazarus when he died. By the way, whenever the New Testament talks about the sleep of death, it always refers to the body, not the soul. So Lazarus's body was sleeping, so to speak, but his soul was very much conscious. Verse 12. Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well." In other words, if physical sleep is his only problem, Jesus, then we sure don't have to go back to Judea and risk our lives to wake him up. Why bother? 13. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Death for a Christian is nothing but an extended nap for their body. We sleep until Jesus wakes us, and he will wake us. He has a wake-up call scheduled for each one of us. We will hear his voice, and then our bodies will wake up. 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." None of the apostles said, "Well, how do you know he's dead? You weren't there." It's just amazing to me. Jesus spoke with such authority about this issue, and they didn't even doubt his word. They didn't even question him. They knew that he knew, even though he had not been there. And they accepted his word. 15. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Search the Bible, and you will see that no one ever died in the presence of Jesus Christ." And that could be why Jesus was glad that he had not been with Lazarus. If he would have been with Lazarus, then Lazarus would not have died. That's true. But if he doesn't die, Jesus doesn't raise him, and the apostle's strength is not strengthened. I should say the apostle's faith is not strengthened by that remarkable miracle. 16. Then said Thomas, who is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Thomas, full of pessimism and gloom, is sure that Jesus will be killed. And not just Jesus, but he and his fellow apostles as well. He's absolutely convinced. But the wonderful thing about Thomas's devotion to Christ is that he is willing to go with Christ anyway. And there's the lesson for us. It's best not to be pessimistic. But the most important thing is being loyal to Christ no matter how we feel, even if we are pessimistic. 17. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs far off, about a couple of miles from Jerusalem. Lazarus had been dead 4 days by the time Jesus and the disciples get there, which means Lazarus must have died shortly after the messenger had been sent by Mary and Martha to Jesus. He must have died shortly after that, because it would take about a day for that messenger to get from Mary and Martha and Lazarus to where Jesus and his apostles were. It would take about a day for the messenger to get there. Then plus Jesus waited 2 days, that's 3 days. And then Jesus left after that, and it took a day for him to get to where Mary and Martha were. So that adds up to 4 days. Say, why would Jesus wait 4 days? I think he waited so that everybody would know beyond all doubt that Jesus, or that Lazarus, was dead beyond resuscitation. Because there's no science to this, but in that culture, many people believed that if a person died, or that when a person died, their soul hovered over their body for 4 days. And for 4 days, it was at least possible, they thought, that the soul could be reunited with the body and they would come back to life. So waiting 4 days plus would prove to everybody that Lazarus was truly, truly dead with no hope of ever being resuscitated. So I think that's probably why Jesus waited that long. At any rate, we continue here in verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They came to comfort the sisters. And they will soon discover that their comfort will not be needed, because Jesus is about to transform that house of mourning into a house of celebration and a house of joy. 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. The meeting between Martha and Jesus took place just outside of the village. It doesn't say why Mary stayed home, but she stayed home. 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And now the if-onlys start. If only you had been here. If only. People do the if-onlys today also. If only I would have had this medication years ago. If only the world would have had this medication 20 years ago, my dad would have lived. If only I had taken this job and not that job. If only I had gone to this school instead of that school. If only I had done this or that differently. If only. And Satan can drive us insane. If onlys. With the if only. He can drive us to depression. If we constantly think about, if only I had done this. If only I had not done that. If only. Just forget it. You know, the fact is, God is in control. He's in control of all things. And nothing happens without his permission. 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Martha did not know what Christ could or would do, but she figured, you know, she knew him well enough that he would do something. At this point, who knows what? He'd pray, I'm sure. God will bring something good out of this lousy situation. She had not lost her faith in Christ, even though he had not responded the way she had hoped that he would, which would be by healing her brother before he died. He didn't do that, but she still had faith in him. 23, Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. your brother shall rise again. That's how you comfort mourners. That's how you comfort Christian mourners concerning their lost Christian loved one. Your brother will rise again. And now we know how to deal with those who are suffering from a loss of a loved one. Right here, you see it. If they know Christ, they will rise again. If you know Christ, you will see them again. There will be a reunion with them. It doesn't mean you don't miss them. It doesn't mean you won't wish that you could talk to them or see them or spend time with them. But death does not mean an end of your relationship. Not in Christ. 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew she'd see her brother again. She knew that. She just never dreamed that she would see him again in a couple of minutes. But that's what Christ has in mind right here. 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He who believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. What Jesus is saying is that he is stronger than death. What Jesus is saying is that he is more powerful than the grave. If we die before Jesus Christ returns, he will raise us from the dead when he comes back. 26. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What he's saying is this. If we are alive when Jesus Christ returns, we will skip death entirely. And we will be transformed by Christ into our resurrected body. In that case, we will never die. Just look at the wonderful words of Christ that have been handed down to us because of Lazarus' death. Leave it to Jesus to squeeze something good out of something bad. 27. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Martha believes that her brother will rise one day because of his faith in Jesus. She believes that. She believes that Jesus is the giver of life. Not only that, she believes it before Christ even has a chance to raise her brother and prove it. She just believes it. She believes it because he said it, and he's God, and he can't lie. And you can trust the word of God, because it's never been proven wrong, always been proven right. 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The teacher is come and calls for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. So Martha went to Mary secretly with the message that Jesus was there. Martha wanted the meeting with Mary and her sister and Jesus to be kept a secret, but God had other plans. Jesus is about to do something amazing, and it should be seen by a lot of people. So, verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goes unto the grave to weep there. The people are following Mary. The mourners are following Mary, which is exactly the way God wants it to be. There is going to be a regular crowd standing alongside of Jesus when he is at the tomb of Lazarus. When he raises Lazarus from the dead in front of all those people, they are going to be brought face to face with the fact that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and that is none other than Almighty God himself. And all those people are going to have to deal with what they see, either by receiving him or rejecting him. One thing's for sure. They will never be the same. 32. Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, I don't know if she fell in worship or if she fell because she was overcome with sorrow. Probably both. But she says the same thing as her sister Martha said, if you had been here, Lord. I regret that you were not here, Lord, because then my brother would not have died. They have faith in Jesus, but their faith is incomplete. They don't understand completely and totally his divine power. That he is not limited by time and space. That if he wanted to heal Lazarus, he could have spoke the word from 10,000 miles away and he would have been healed. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Jesus saw the sadness and the suffering and the death that was in the world because of man's sin, and it grieved him. Grieved him. He saw firsthand here the crying, the sorrow, the suffering, and the death that was in the world because of sin. God hates sin because God is holy. But God hates sin also because he loves us. And he knows the evil that it does to us. And I just wonder. You know, we're getting pretty close to the cross of Christ here. And I just wonder if he isn't thinking, soon I'm going to be on the cross, destroying the power of sin and death, and I am glad. 34. Jesus said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. 35. Jesus wept. And that is our God who is crying at the death of Lazarus. Jesus knows that Lazarus is in a better place. But his death still makes Jesus sad. And I think, more than anything, Christ is crying for the sad survivors. When you are broken over the loss of a loved one, God is sad right along with you. 36. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. You say, if Jesus loved him, he would be glad that Lazarus is in heaven. Well, I'm sure he was. No one knows better than Jesus, the eternal God who had been in heaven forever in the past, just how wonderful it is. But death is still sad because the survivors miss the one who dies. 37. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? In effect, they're saying, if I were Jesus, I would have done things differently. I would have kept Lazarus from dying in the first place. See, what they do not know is that Jesus is about to accomplish something even greater. Here's the thing to remember. When God does not act the way we think we would act, if we were God, it's important to remember that he knows what he's doing and he's accomplishing something far greater by doing things his way than if he would be doing things our way. And we will pick it up right here next time. Until then, so long, everyone.